Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace towards us and the great encouragement that you're sharing with us today and the victory that you've given us over the devil. Amen. Okay, I'm going to share with you on persecuted to sanctified. That's right. And first revelation I'm going to share is the angel army protects UBM. Amen. Oh. And this was given to Samuel Fire on 1:15:23. Excuse me. 1:15:23. I dreamt that I, my wife Tiana, and many other of UBM brethren were gathered at a man's house, where his wife and family were. This man and some others I had not seen before eventually factioned away from UBM. But at this time, we all were friendly and sharing the word and the peace of Christ. Well, yes, these people became traitorous, Judases, as the Lord pointed out to us, Edomites, just as King David's son, Absalom, betrayed him. Samuel went on to say, it was a beautiful late morning, and the sun was very bright. A nice cool breeze was blowing gently. And as the day got closer to noontime, clouds started to build up and loom. Well, I believe these represent the storm clouds of selfish ambition, sin, unforgiveness that build up and block the light of the sun, sun/son, and their spiritual eyesight becomes cloudy, and God separates them through factious spirits. We were there to have a barbecue, and the food was getting cooked and served to the outdoor area. Well, we've seen that the barbecue represents the sacrifice of our flesh that we burn up on the altar when we live the crucified life. People go just so far sometimes with the crucified life, and they lay it down, but it is our life. And 1 Chronicles 21:24 says, and King David said to Ornan, lay, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer a burnt offering without cost. There's a cost to a burnt offering. You're giving up the old life. Amen. And if you're not willing to lose your life, Jesus said you will not gain your life. The children were all playing and running around in the yard, and the adults were talking in small groups about various topics regarding the Lord. Then the wind intensified, and the clouds grew very dark. And far into the distance, there were storm clouds with lightning. Next, the factious accused David Eales, Michael Hare, and a few others of something. Well, the storm clouds of faction may come against God's true ministers, but as we will see, they will not prevail. Therefore, crucifixion, no doubt, and for the judgment of the wicked. Okay. So the factious people who started the argument began to be very angry and violent, pushing others. And I shouted out, we didn't do that and have no idea about it. Well, that's true. David Eales, Michael Hare, and others in the UBM family were very peaceful and still smiling at them. Of course, we did all our best to help them to come around, but to no avail. Psalm 35:11-16 says, unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not, and they reward me evil for good to the bereaving of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother, which Jesus did with Judas too, by the way, he called him friend, right? I bowed down, mourning, as one that bewaileth his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. The abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. Yes, they're pretty sneaky. They did tear me and ceased not, like the profane mockers in feasts. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. Well, Samuel went on to say, all of a sudden the factious pulled out weapons and started to shoot guns at all the UBM brethren. Well, this usually represents character assassination by criticism and slander without ever having any proof of sin. Their demons do not want them to hear scriptural reasoning, so many times they shoot from darkness and then they flee, you know. They hide out and shoot. Well, we all just calmly grabbed our things and our children and left and didn't look back. Well, we must protect our fruit by opening the word and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, as the Bible says. At this time, rain started to pour and lightning was flashing all about. Then the scene changed and we were in an abandoned industrial area with empty buildings. The brethren were all gathered and calmly discussing the previous events around a small fire near the center. Well, the UBM brethren gather around the fire of the Holy Spirit in love and unity. He went on to say, we had a very basic setup and were all able to rest and have a little food and drink. Amen. And 1 Timothy 6:6 through 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content. And then he said, everyone was still very happy and joyful. We then started to pray for the factious people for their evil spirits to leave. You know, Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, pray for them that persecute you. Yes, amen. Then he said, while the children were sleeping, the adults were praying and agreeing on the next place we should go and who would stay awake to watch out for our enemies. Everybody has to watch. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Speaking about agreeing for the next place that they should go. And later in the night, vehicles sped towards the area where we were staying, and one of the brethren who was on watch called out as they saw the lights of the vehicles from the distance. The brethren on watch represents the UBM dreamers and visioners through whom the Lord warns his people. Yes, this has certainly been a great help. Everyone woke up and we all prayed together and calmed the children down. And as we prayed, the brethren had multiple confirmations that we were invisible here and soundproof. We were safe. However, if we tried to leave, they would see us. Amen. So this represents being hidden in Christ. As long as we abide in him, we will be safe and not seen by our enemies. Amen. But actually, God is the one that opens up anybody who is within that is not abiding in Christ. He opens them up for attack, and they are taken out. Because this is how God cleanses the body. A few brethren were looking out and could see the factious man and his followers inside these vehicles. They looked very angry, and the factious leader had a megaphone and was saying, "Come out and fight. Let's settle this now." Well, actually, they want to do that from darkness. They do not do that face to face. So this is like 2 Kings 18:28-30. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear ye the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." So David Eales reassured all of us that there was nothing they could do to us, and we are all safe. Well, let me say, they are only a danger to those who are ready to be separated so that their leaven does not leaven the body. So a person that falls into unforgiveness, criticism, or in things like that, or moral sin, whatever, this will find you out, because the Lord sends the faction spirits to remove you. That's what happens. So the Lord Jesus had us all protected, and we were to just wait, and they would go away. Well, 2 Kings 19:6-7 says, "And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall you say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, and he shall hear tidings, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Yes, and of course, Assyria here represents the beast, and the faction, of course, is a member of the beast, just like this. Because they walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. That's the mark of the beast, right? Hand and forehead. So the UBM brethren kept in prayer and faith, and some of the brethren were fixing small meals for everyone, and others were doing various tasks, all the while praying aloud or in the spirit. No one became anxious or upset. There was a huge thunderstorm, and the night was black. Then all of a sudden the rain, lightning, and thunder stopped, and light started to pour all around the whole building, and we were all inside. I could hear musical instruments from a far distance, and high-pitched singing sounding us from all directions, surrounding us from all directions. And then Eve shouted, "The Lord's army is here. Rejoice." Yes. Everyone in our group was sitting with their arms raised, even all the children, and we were either shouting for joy or in holy tongues. The small campfire was now a giant, blazing, roaring fire, and there was not a shadow anywhere. Well, it's interesting. One time the Lord showed me what the shadows spoke of, really. The perfect day is when there is the most light and no shadows, right? Shadows are darkness, right? We want the darkness gone. Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The perfect day is when there's no shadows. The sun is straight up, full bore. Well, the whole room was shaking, and I could feel such a strong warmth, like I was wrapped in a woolen coat, excuse me. Revival and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will turn the tides for God's elect on a mass scale. The angels told us that they would assist the saints during the end time great revival. Amen. And then the Lord's army showed up. I could see that the light was made up of angels, and there were thousands of them all around the whole building. There was not a gap between them. The singing and musical instruments were so powerful and in unison that it was shaking the floor. The factious people outside in the vehicles were then surrounded by the angel army. All of them dropped their weapons, and eventually they were all finally arrested. And then I woke up. Well, this, of course, reminds us of Eve's dream of the factious dogs being rounded up and locked up by the angels to be killed by lethal injection. And that was in Restoration for the Saints, number 3. And we have had several dreams where the vaccine plague was killing the faction who would not repent. And that, of course, is the lethal injection. So, this next revelation we called Remain Unified Through Persecutions. And this was Vanessa Weeks, 1-12-23. And Vanessa said, I dreamed that I was living with a small group of other believers. It was an oval-shaped area with small, plain houses that were connected together. Well, we'll just call this God's true people dwell together in unity, right? In Ephesians 2:20-22, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, that's each individual, fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. This was in a wilderness, she said, and we think that represents tribulation. And these dwellings were identical. I knew that we were all there because of being persecuted by the powers that be. Well, the corporate beast will persecute the man-child and his disciples through the corporate harlot, which includes the faction, just as in Jesus' day. Amen. History always repeats, right? But I knew we each had a choice in giving up what we had, and that some of us had given up great possessions. And this is true of all the brethren here, sacrificed greatly to build the kingdom. Right? And the joy of the Lord was great in this place. Hebrews 10:34 says, "For you both had compassion on them that were in bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one," one that lasts forever, as a matter of fact. And also Hebrews 11:24, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Amen. There was water in the center of the dwellings, and it was to give us refreshment. Well, we know what the Word of God does. It refreshes us, empowers us, keeps us on the right track, so on and so forth, right? I saw a man who had broad shoulders in the water, and he was wearing a white shirt. I believe this might be like Jesus. The man-child reformers will have the government upon their shoulders, and like Jesus, they will stir up the people with their words to bring a great revival, as well as stirring up their enemies to kill them. Because as you know, anybody who spoke truth in the Bible invited the wicked to come against them, right? He was stirring up the water with his right hand. There we go. And then I woke up. And I believe this represents stirring up the people who are represented by waters in the book of Revelation. The great revival will bring unity and love, which is hated by Satan and his people and made war on. So that leads us to this. Tiana Fire on 115:23 got this, which we called the Lord's love manifested through UBM. Well, Tiana currently lives in Australia, so she was making a long visit. She said, in the dream, I was at Matt and Anna's house, which is here, and we were preparing to go over to Fio and Lana's for the Friday Worship Fellowship. I was super excited, but nervous to meet all the brethren. And when we got to Fio and Lana's, I first saw David Eels, and I instantly went and hugged him, and I felt such love, comfort, and peace. It felt pure, and there was no evil present or fleshly feelings or thoughts. Usually, in the flesh, I'm having to cast down judging thoughts, feelings, or pride and rejection, etc. However, none of that was present. There was only the Holy Spirit's presence. I felt spiritually one with all of the brethren in a pure spiritual way, one with Jesus and with them, and there was nothing separating us from being one with each other. It was so hard to find physical words to describe the extraordinary presence I felt, but it was pure. So this oneness, where does this come from? I tell you where it comes from. It comes from being persecuted by the wicked. Because when people see what happens to people who once believed truth and fell away and got reprobated, they're very careful to make sure they have right thoughts towards the brethren, to reject any criticism, unforgiveness, judgment. And this is what brings about this love, okay? So David looked so very young. His skin was completely clear, no wrinkles or blemishes, and everything was physically perfect. Well, this is the restoration that the Lord has shown us is coming. And the angels called it a complete DNA restoration. I've never seen something in the natural that was so physically pure as how I saw the brethren in this dream. There was only innocence and purity present, and we were completely connected in one mind. It was as though everyone knew what was going to happen before it happened. This is pretty much true. It's pretty much been that way. And there's a lot of love here for sure, more than any group I've ever been in. David and I were in one mind when we hugged each other, and I felt so much joy in the Lord and agape love for David. And it was as if each of the brethren could read each other's minds. Yeah, we get to know each other pretty good. This phenomenon is talked about by those who have visited heaven and returned to testify about it, right? And after hugging David, I turned and looked to my other side, and I saw Vanessa Weeks. And I felt such spiritual excitement and joy to see my sister. I felt this connection that could never be broken. The connection with her, too, felt as if we were one together in Christ and that all the brethren were as one without any fleshly or unholy hindrance. I felt completely pure. I felt a strong urge to hug her, and we hugged, and it was so beautiful. There was just pure love. Vanessa, too, looked so young and ageless with perfect skin. Her skin was more beautiful than any skin I've ever seen, and there was just pure love in and through her, and it was Jesus in her and Jesus in me. And all of us were connected as one, and I knew it was now and for all eternity. It was Jesus in each of us. The Holy Presence was amplified once we arrived at the worship fellowship, and there was no nervousness anymore. Nothing evil was trying to block me. I couldn't feel or hear rejection like I usually do. That was all gone, and every one of us were in unity with Christ. There was nothing that could separate or break our unity. It was so extraordinary, not having to battle or even hear any unclean thoughts or feelings. It was just Jesus without any hindrance. Jesus in all and through all. Praise God. A few days ago, I also had a similar dream but I only remember a glimpse of it. I saw Eve right in front of me and felt this strong connection in the spirit and the physical, and I knew that we were connected and one in Christ now and for eternity. I felt such pure spiritual love for Eve, and she too felt it back. I said, "My beautiful sister Eve," and I had this strong urge to hug her, and we hugged at the presence, and the presence of God was so strong, peaceful, comforting, and pure. There was nothing unclean present. It was only the Holy Spirit. It was so pure, and even remembering all of this brings tears to my eyes about how real it all felt and how pure it felt. And it's all Jesus, all His glory. We had a long hug, and the presence of God was so strong, and we stopped hugging, and I said something about how her hair was a different shade of red than I imagined. And I said that God knows that red hair has always been my favorite color hair. And I said something about how I love her beautiful curls that God gave her. And I was admiring her in a spiritual, pure way, not in a fleshly, carnal way, admiring her as Christ in her and her as Christ's bride, as the creation and redeemed of Christ. Eve also looked so young and ageless. There were no wrinkles or anything, and her skin was just pure. After talking with her, I looked at her again, and I just felt such love for her. And I wanted to hug her again, and so we hugged again, and it felt so pure and spiritually connected. Every time we stopped hugging, I just hugged her again, because there was so much love and pure connection in holiness and nothing evil or carnal. And then I woke up. And she went on to say, "This is hard for me to put in physical words, as it's so hard to describe spiritual things. But there have been a few times where the Lord has allowed me to see, feel, and experience a glimpse of His love for the brethren, especially the local brethren in Tennessee. His love for each of you is beyond anything I can put in words, beyond anything we could imagine or describe. It's so strong and brings me to tears in remembering what He allowed me to see and feel. It is all Him. Everything is Him, and He cares every second for everything about each of you, and He wants to be a part of every moment in your life and mind. He looks past all the faults and sees you as if they are already gone, and they are because of Jesus' sacrifice. Amen." The enemy tries to trick us so much to think that God doesn't care about little things, and that we aren't good enough. But Jesus has already done it all, and He's already lives in each of you in full, and He can only manifest it fully if we allow Him to. He can only manifest the percentage that we allow Him to. He wants to manifest through us 100% in every part of our existence, more than we want Him to. He desires to be with us and in us and of us more than we want Him to. He loves us more than we could ever understand. But when I was allowed to experience and feel a glimpse of His love for the brethren, His love was well beyond pure and the holy and well above anything that we can imagine or put into words. One time when watching the live worship fellowship on YouTube, it was at the beginning before anyone even started singing, and I felt the Lord come upon me so strong, and I felt him take over my body. And he was looking through my eyes at each of the brethren with complete pure love. It wasn't me, and I wish I could experience the Lord looking through me all the time, but I just felt complete, whole, pure, undefiled love and grace for each of the brethren. And there wasn't anything unclean that could hinder it or separate his love for them. And each of the brethren are all just as important as the other, and the body can't function without all the parts, and no part is the same. Just as each of God's children is unique from the other, there is no one else in existence like each individual, but they are all still connected in unity with each other as Jesus. Well, this kind of reminds me of a dream the Lord gave to Eve, and it was called Seeing Others Through Faith. She got this on 6/13/08. And I'll just say that the Shulamite bride in Song of Solomon had the eyes of a dove, meaning she saw things the way God's Spirit sees things. And this dream teaches us to see others by faith as God does, to see that they have already been given godliness through Christ. In other words, if we have faith for ourselves, we should have the same faith for others, right? And this is the opposite of the way the faction views righteous people, the very opposite, because that's Satan in them, okay? And 2 Peter 1 and 2 says, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Be multiplied, he said, right? "Seeing," that's what you're supposed to do, "that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. Whereby he hath granted," past tense, "unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust." So, as we can see from this, spirit eyes see the end from the beginning, right? They walk by faith for others as well as self. Right. I had a dream that began in an indoor swimming pool area. The voice of David Eales was talking over my right shoulder throughout the whole dream. He was showing me different people and situations, people that I had wondered whether they were saved or would be saved, or if these people were making the right choices or living their lives the right way. These things had disturbed or concerned me throughout my life. Well, rather than wonder about them, we should have faith for them to be saved. That's part of our work, is to pray for one another, right? Amen. In fact, Philippians 1 and 6 and 7 says this, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to be thus minded on behalf of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." Amen. So, we're supposed to see the end from the beginning, right? She went on to say, David would show me these different people. Some of them were close friends or family members, and others were people who were strangers whom I had never seen before, or people I had only had brief encounters with. I was walking on the right side of the pool. David's voice was talking over my shoulder in my right ear from behind me. And suddenly I could hear the voices of my son Noah and his friend Nathan squabbling. Now, this was back in 08. They're all grown up now. But I walked up to them and wasn't sure how to handle their squabble and was frustrated with their childish foolishness. Then David Eales walked over to both of them and in a gentle way started teaching them. He calmed them with a gentle voice. Then he showed them how to reconcile their differences. Well, Matthew 5 and 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Amen. That's our job, right? Then the scene changed. David's voice was still in my right ear teaching me. The more he taught me, the more my spiritual sight opened up, and I began to see these people the way God sees them or knows them, even when they are still living in sin or ignorance. Well, we have to be the peacemakers between the immature and teach them to let God be the judge between them, right? The next scene was outdoors on some land that David owned. And I drove up in a flatbed pickup with food, plants, flowers, and one small crate of special baby birds. I was contributing these things as a gift to UBM. Well, of course, there's no buying and selling, but giving and receiving. That's the way we're supposed to be, right? So all of us lived on his land and had our different positions and chores or things that we were assigned to do based on what we were good at. That's the way it ought to be. God, whatever God gifts us at, that's what we do. And that's what makes us the most happy, too. So everyone will work according to their assigned gift from God. Him working in them to willing to do of his good pleasure, right? And this creates peace and rest in us. So the women and I carried all the food, plants, flowers into the greenhouse nursery to tend to them. I set the baby birds on the top right corner of a table in the center of the nursery. Well, baby Christians, I believe what we're looking at here, is in the nursery will grow up like the Father's planting, right? So one of the women who was older than me in her 50s with dyed dark brown hair walked past the birds and looked down at them with presumptive irritation and said, "What are those?" And I started to tell her, but she cut me off because her true intention was to make a point that she wasn't going to help me feed them or care for them. She said, "Well, I hope you don't expect me to take care of them." And again, these represent young Christians who have lots of problems all the time, you know, and they have to be pampered, literally. And I was offended at first by her presumptuousness, but David's voice on my shoulder explained to me why she said that, because that was not God's calling for her. And then something amazing happened. All at once, I was able to see her heart, attitude, and knew this woman intimately as God saw her. Well, it's true. If a person doesn't have a calling to a certain things, they don't understand. It's kind of like evangelists understanding teachers. They are different, really. They're made differently. And, of course, they always believe that their calling is the most important. So All my anger just melted away, and I loved this woman and was so grateful for all she had done for UBM. And I was shown how precious and valuable she was to God, and I cherished her like a hidden treasure. Well, all will learn to appreciate individual callings and gifts as the people manifestly become the body of Christ. No one will do without, for the body will minister to itself, as it has in the book of Acts, right? Once again. After this, the scene changed, and the plant nursery turned into my grandmother's house. It was Christmas, and there were gobs of Christmas decor everywhere. My mother's family was celebrating Christmas. And they do that sometimes, don't they? And standing around eating and talking to one another, my grandmother was being the good hostess that she has always been, preparing food and asking everyone about themselves and so on and so forth. Yeah. So in God's nursery, the babies can grow up out of their Babylonish traditions without condemnation, right? Amen. A lot of people want to change others by condemnation, but that's not the way to do it. Suddenly I realized that my grandfather was there. He passed away back in September of 2007, and this was 2008 now. He was dressed in a colorful Christmas sweater, and he looked so young and full of life. Well, this is probably representing those that are immature, who are dead in their sins, can grow up out of Babylonish works, right? Without condemnation. My grandmother acted as if it were normal to have a dead man mulling around her house. Well, for moms, you know, especially our mother religions that we came through into the kingdom, right? There's a lot of dead men mulling around, okay? My mom finally came in, and I rushed over to her in a panic and said, "Thank God you're here. Grandpa is alive, and he is running around here talking to everyone." I was fearful and horrified, and my mother was surprised and concerned. She didn't know what to do except pretend like everything was normal and talk to my grandpa like he was still alive. My mom and I were the only two who realized that my grandpa had died. Yeah. Well, we know resurrection life will come to those in immature Babylonish habits when we see them and talk to them as though they are alive from the dead and new creatures in Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. Wherefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new." So this, of course, is faith for that person, right? "But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation." Reconciliation is an exchange of their life for his. We, of course, encourage people with the words of faith to be reconciled to Christ. In other words, let his life be their life, and let their old life be nailed to his cross, right? "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. As I stood there, I could hear David's voice over my shoulder again, and it calmed me down, and my fear melted away. Then that amazing thing happened again. I started quietly observing my grandpa as he talked and interacted with the other family members. He was beautiful and radiant. He was kind and his heart was childlike. I saw him the way God had seen him. Well, you know, babies grow up at their own rate. You love them at each stage. You know, this is what she's saying, basically. Yes, by faith and renewed imagination as a new creature in Christ is my comment here. He was going around really just pouring out his soul into his children and grandchildren. I couldn't believe what a precious soul this was. My grandpa used to be a very hard man in his younger years, and when I was a child, I heard him and my father arguing as my dad tried to share the gospel with him. A stream of obscenities would pour forth out of his mouth. He said he didn't need God, and later in his life, during his 60s, he had a change of heart. He got involved in a local Methodist church and went to Sunday school and church most Sundays and dragged my grandma along, and we also got involved with that church, and they were really serious about it all. Well, you got to start somewhere. And sometimes you can't jump right in the middle of a radical Book of Acts church. Okay. So God knows that. And these apostate churches, which are, you know, picking parts and pieces of the Bible to emphasize, and hopefully they stick with the various youthful parts of the story, because when they get past that into teaching other things, they go astray. So, as baby Christians, we were all involved in a simplistic experience of Christianity. So, we should love these as Christ loved us, his babies, who are learning to walk, right? At the same time, correcting the system and the leaders who would keep them as babes, because that's there too. When he had been alive, I judged them for their denominational choice and what I viewed as a shallow, almost worthless relationship with God. Well, babies play in the shallow end of the pool until they grow up, and we must speak justification by faith to them to give them the joy and confidence of their salvation. Because then God can really deal with them. He can really work on them when they've got faith towards God. And they can't understand everything you have to say to them. Just as Jesus said to his disciples, there are many things I have to share with you, but you can't receive them right now. Right? And we've got to have the same kind of common sense. Right? As I was observing my dead grandpa at this Christmas party, I was able to see his heart the way God saw him. It was incredible to me how I could feel how God felt and saw my grandpa. I saw that God cherished his childlike faith and his desire to help others understand things and mentor them and his desire to help others with their projects. Well, we have to see the immature as accounted righteous by faith, and we have to convince them that they are accounted righteous by faith too. At that moment, I knew that he was with the Lord and not in hell as I had been concerned about it since his death. Amen. The scene changed again, and my grandmother's house turned into the apartment of two homosexual men. As I observed them, they couldn't see me. I was immediately disgusted that I was in their home. Well, just remember, we are forbidden to judge any of the lost, for they have no grace to obey and are in bondage and should be pitied. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13 tells us that very plainly. Don't judge those that are without, right? I was fearful of some sort of defilement or something, and these two men were nicely dressed. I listened to them talk. They had several Great Dane dogs that were running around in the backyard. I wasn't happy about those dogs. Okay, so here's the point. God prepares people to hear from Him. He sometimes drags them to a very low place so that they're not proud and so that they appreciate the salvation of God before He brings them in. So this preparation starts even before people get saved. And sometimes it's very humbling. As I was feeling threatened by these men and their dogs, I heard David's voice talking in my right ear again. And as I listened, the threat melted away, and I began to see these men's hearts. They had such compassion and loving kindness in their hearts. I watched them love and care for their animals, and when suddenly I heard a knock at the door. One of the men went over to open the door, and there was a naked man who was obese and hairy all over his body, sitting in a wheelchair with a colostomy bag taped to his lower abdomen that was filled with feces. He was homeless and needed a place to live and someone to help him change his colostomy bag every day. Well, we see people like that all the time, although in the letter they're not exactly like that, but they're in just as bad a shape, right? So the sight of this man horrified me, and I doubted these men would take him in. I watched as they happily discussed the possibility between themselves and eagerly agreed to take this crippled, naked man into their home and take care of him. I was astounded at their love for other people, their compassion, and the blindness to the flaws of others. Well, you know how they get that way? Blindness to the flaws of others? They have flaws, and they know it, and it humbles them. Okay. God showed me all the qualities that He had formed in their hearts, how He used the betrayal and rejection that they had experienced throughout their lives in order to form Christ in them. I was seeing the end from the beginning in these men, even though they were still in ignorance and lost in their sin. See, I say God prepares people even before they come to the Lord, right? And they appreciate salvation then. So those who have been sinners and rejected can appreciate the acceptance of Christ through the gospel. And some lost people have more of the nature of Christ than some Christians, but they're not justified through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. It's true, you can see more fruit in some of them than a lot of, self-righteous Christians. In everyone whom God will ultimately call to Himself, He prepares the soil by breaking it up through adverse circumstances and failure, so that through repentance and faith, the seed of Christ is planted. And those who are forgiven of much are able to love much. Luke 7:47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Amen. So God told me that these are mine, and they were so beautiful, so perfect in heart, such compassion that I had never seen or experienced before. It just made me want to weep, and I felt defiled by my own attitudes and judgmental self-righteousness, and was horrified at myself. Again, we don't judge those that are without. Those that are without, God judges, right? And he has a plan for those who were his from the foundation of the world, and bringing them through the mud is part of it sometimes, right? David's words had helped me to see things and people the way that God saw them. I was able to finally see my own heart clearly and repent to God. And after this dream, seeing others the way God sees them became a permanent gift. Amen. Well, God sees us as a finished product from the beginning through Jesus' sacrifice, and we must do the same for others. And as we forgive them, God forgives us. We can tell them the good news that they are free from sin, and the sinner will appreciate this greatly. Instead of, you know, getting into things that aren't necessary, you know, straining out a gnat, swallowing a camel like the Pharisees do, you know, etc. They look so precious to me, and I just cherished each one in my heart like a rare jewel. I didn't see their sin anymore or their imperfections. I wasn't concerned about their immediate states or what they were planning to do that was sinful or wrong. I just saw the end from the beginning and felt such rest. Amen. So, seeing our loved ones through the sacrifice of Christ by faith gives us rest that God will do the work in them. We can have faith for them just like we have faith for ourselves, right? Not only did God settle my uncertainty about the salvation or spiritual condition of all the people whom I have prayed for, or been concerned about in my family or other people's families, but he gave me the faith I needed to believe in the sanctification of others that we pray for and believe for their salvation. So when we pray for lost loved ones, we are commanded to believe we have received what we prayed for and see it as done. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever, underline that, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. That's not a request, that's a command. Believe that you received, and that's what the word is in the original Greek, it's past tense, and you shall have them. And this has been an issue for me that I have worried over, she says, and struggled with a lot. These situations were representational of all the lost loved ones whom the saints of God are praying and believing for. Praise God for peace of mind and for his great mercy. Well, amen. Well, to be balanced on this subject, we must not give grace to believers who walk in willful disobedience. Hebrews 10:26 says, again, we're talking about believers here, right? For if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. A man that has set at naught Moses' law dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you, saints. We hope this has helped you to, you know, see people in a new light. You know, God starts with dirt. He plants the seed in the dirt. The dirt puts to death the outside of the seed, and it grows, and it brings forth fruit that looks like the original seed, and so on. So, praise God. He's doing it. Good night.